I remember being challenged many years ago by quite a significant ministry in the country because he heard that I had ladies in the church who were preachers and led ministries. And he was expressing his concern to me. I still respect this man greatly. And he said to me certain things, and I said to him, I said, well, I've come to the position that to me, it's not about whether it's male or female. I've come to the position from my study of the scriptures and from seeing the hand of God at work on people that it is about gifting, character, anointing, and godly character and the evidence of discipleship in their lives. And it was interesting because I could see the man, his mind working and computing. And it kind of brought the argument, it wasn't an argument, it was a discussion, it brought it to an end really. And from then on, every time we met, there was always a warmth, there was always a real openness from this guy. And I totally believe that today. It's about gifting, character, anointing, godly character developed in us, and the call of God. And so I want to carry on to part two, what we started last week. Last week we started into looking at the roots of what's called racism. Highly topical in the news, obviously, with the Black Lives Matter. Of course Black Lives Matter. Of course White Lives Matter. Of course, whatever color skin you are, life matters. Okay? No debate. When it becomes politicized and then turned into a weapon, a political weapon that is fundamentally actually divisive rather than trying to create understanding, then it becomes a problem. So because we're new creations in Christ, if you've received Christ, you are a new creation in Him, and we are one in Christ. There is no Jew, Greek, Gentile, woman, man, woman in Christ. We're one in Christ. We're going to look at that passage soon. But there's still the remnants of some of these ideas that got into our societies, especially in the 1800s, where there was a lot of debate about the idea that there were different groups that evolved at different rates or to different levels, therefore creating one group that was superior compared to another, and even to the point where some groups of human beings were considered subhuman, and even the missing link between the evolutional ideas of various human ancestors and current humans. I want to tell you, my friends, it was actually some of the Christian missionaries in parts of the world that saw this behavior happening and saw certain people groups being abused and downrated that actually protested to governments of the world that were doing this and said, this is not right. These are human beings. These are created in the image of God and we're equal. It was actually some of those Christian ministries who fought against those sort of philosophies. But nevertheless, those sort of philosophies became ingrained in our education system, in our belief, in many belief systems. And as a result of that, it gave some people or some groups the idea that they had the right to rule over another because they were superior and they were inferior. I want to tell you, my friends, these things have their roots in the kingdom of darkness. That is earthly wisdom. It is demonic wisdom. It is not heavenly wisdom from above. It is from the earth. It is earthly wisdom. It is demonic. And so we look briefly at the fact that In the Word of God in Genesis, it talks about how God created man, created mankind, humankind, male and female, created them, and we are equal. Every human being has their genetics from that couple. Via Noah and his family, back to that original couple. Adam is our federal head. He's the one who was first created. And then the woman was taken out of him. But he was the one who was given the command. He was the one that was given the original covenant. And he was the one who received that word from God, that command, that covenant on behalf of all humanity that follow him. That's why in the New Testament it says, all in Adam die, but those in Christ shall live. because Christ is a life, is a life-giving spirit. And so if we're only in the first creation, which is the first Adam, and we haven't been born again, we're in a place where there's sin ruling, we're in the world without God, we're without hope. But when you come into Christ, the second Adam or the last Adam, which is a beginning of a whole new species of humanity, a whole new group of humanity called the new creation. You come into that man, you come into Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old ideas of our inferiority or superiority, depending on ethnic group or nationality, need to totally be eradicated from our thinking, because that's part of the old creature thinking. It's not part of the new creation understanding. So there is no place for what we call racism in the family of God. It might exist in the minds of people. Some people even try and find some weak justification in Scripture to even promote the idea. But I want to tell you, my friends, it is error, because the greatest revelation of the Father is Jesus Christ. The greatest revelation of the heart of God, the mercy of God, the love of God for people is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't look at some prior revelation of who God is and then somehow justify an idea that somehow gives us a superiority idea against another group of humans. We go to, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus model? How did Jesus live? How did Jesus minister to people? And we see in him that he ministered to everybody. Now, he did have a covenantal obligation to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. And there was that discussion with the Syrophoenician woman when she wanted to get her daughter healed, and Jesus said, it's not right for me to cast the bread to children's bread to the dogs. That was a covenantal issue. It wasn't a, we are superior to you, you are not worthy of salvation issue. It was a covenantal issue, because he came to his own. His own covenanted people, but his own received him not. But he also said, I have flocks that you know not of. Many will come from the east and from the west and will eat at the table with Abraham and so on. And he said, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out. What was he saying? He came to his own. His own, the sons of the kingdom, as it were, but many of them rejected him as the Messiah. And as a result of that, they are the ones that will not eat at that table. But there are many from the ends of the earth, including you and I, that will eat at that table with Abraham and will celebrate the wedding and will become Christ's bride in fullness. We're Christ's bride now in terms of the initial betrothal, but we'll be Christ's bride in fullness. Sorry to be getting into things that maybe children don't understand. But I'm talking about the roots of racism. Racism need not exist in the family of God. There's no place for it. Absolutely no place for it. Because the idea that different races are one superior to another through evolutionary process is error. It is a mistake. I would declare it, worse than that, is actually demonic. Are there ethnicities? Yes, there is. Are there peoples and tongues and tribes? Yes, there is. But there's one race called the human race. And we all come from one mother, all come from one father. That's how it is. And so let's get on to some passages in relation to how Jesus sees his family. Because that's really, really important. See, in Christ, there are no second-rate citizens. In Christ, there are no second-rate citizens. Do we have cultural misunderstandings? Oh, yes. Why do you do that? Well, we've done this for generations. My friends in Africa look at us eating blue vein cheese. Bishop Collins said, we throw it out when it gets like that. But we deliberately make it go rotten and then eat it. Moldy. Some do. I actually quite like it. Now. You know that our ancestors used to hang rabbits and hang venison until it was almost falling from the hook? And then they would eat it. Incredibly tender. That's why they really loved the spices of India. So when they put those in the dishes, it disguised the flavor of the meat. Many of our ancestors did that. I won't go on. Just preparing you for lunch. Some of us may even eat sausages that are made of quite a considerable quantity of pig's blood. And we call ourselves civilized. Moving right along, she said. I'm just saying, one lot looks at another lot and can't understand why they do that. It's only because it's developed in our culture. In fact, the word nation, the word ethnos, which is translated nation in our scriptures, is where we get our word ethnicity. Part of the meaning of the word ethnos is habit. Not a habit that a nun wears, but a habit that develops. A culture that develops. A set of ideas that develop. A set of ways of living life that develop. And so we have in all these different parts of the world cultures that have developed ways of living. They've become an ethnicity. They've become an ethnos. They've developed certain habits. Some of those habits are inspired by God. Some of those habits are inspired by the devil. Some of those habits are just simply appetites. Some of them are issues relating to the food sources that are available, the building processes that are available. All sorts of things contribute into the way an ethnicity or a ethnic group develops, but it doesn't change our fundamental value. Because we're equal in the eyes of God completely. See, in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, we see this beautiful statement. Paul unfolding, amongst other things, ideas along this way. He says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. And of course, back then, the Jew and Greek issue, or the Jew and non-Jew issue, was the big deal for the people who were listening. Because they really did think they were superior. But God's love was reaching out to all of them. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Point to the person next, say to the person next to you, God is rich toward you. God is rich toward you. He is rich toward you. The Lord is rich toward you. In the Passion Translation, it says this. So then faith eliminates the distinction between Jew and non-Jew. That was the big so-called racial or ethnic issue of the day. Faith eliminates the distinction. Faith eliminates the distinction between European and African, between African and Pacific Islander, between Chinese and Korean. Faith eliminates the distinction between Kiwi and Australian. Regardless of whether the Wallabies or the All Blacks win, it negates the distinction. Because if we have the faith of Jesus, if we have the faith of God, we will realize we're all created in the image of God. And how can we devalue somebody who's been created in the image of God? Because I'd have to devalue myself. So then faith eliminates the distinction between Jew and non-Jew. For he is the same Lord of all people. And he has enough treasures to lavish generously upon all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued and experience new life. I want to tell you, isn't that amazing? Faith eliminates the distinction. Whenever people have got a distinction in their heart which creates a prejudice against a what people call a race is because there's not a lot of faith in the heart. Racism and faith are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Genuine faith, the faith of the Word of God, the faith of Jesus will bring us into a place where we see that we're all of wonderfully equal value before the Father, regardless of whatever skin color, whatever ethnicity, whatever people group. When we come into Christ, we are ransomed, we are saved, we are redeemed, we are in Him, we are His new creation altogether. I hear some people speak when we celebrate the fact that in one nation thousands of people come to a crusade and thousands of people get saved, and another man will say, yeah, but that's just that nation. As if to say, well, yeah, those people aren't as valuable as the people over here. I want to tell you, my friend, I love smacking that up. I'm not a violent man. But I have had the hair on the back of my head stand up when I've heard such statements. Because every soul, every person, every human being that responds to Christ because they hear the message, heaven celebrates. Heaven celebrates with such celebration. Heaven doesn't celebrate more over one nation than it does another. Heaven celebrates when every person, regardless of where they come from, hear the gospel and come into Christ. Heaven celebrates equally. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We've often enough talked about the issue of sons and being part of a bride. We're all sons in Christ. In that sense, in terms of inheritance, we're all in Christ. And we're also part of the bride. So we just deal with that. It's 50-50. You know, we're sons and a bride. That covers both. So just deal with it. Don't let brokenness make an issue of that. So we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Or Jew nor non-Jew. There is neither slave nor free. In other words, free people are not more valuable than slaves. There is neither male nor female. In other words, men are not more valuable than females, and females are not more valuable than males. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Soon as people make something about a ethnic issue or an ethnic identity issue or a socioeconomic issue, socioeconomic level issue, soon as they make it about whether you're poor or whether you're wealthy, soon as they make it about whether you're a man or a woman, they've lost the plot. It's about being one in Christ. It's about being of equal value in Christ. It's about being precious in the heart of God. It's about Jesus coming and dying for every person. And I want to tell you, my friends, when racism started to really take a deep root in human thinking, they came up with all sorts of crazy ideas as to how this people group, who they thought was subhuman, could somehow still hear the gospel, but the gospel was altered for them because they didn't have the same rewards to look forward to as this other group. It got very distorted. Very, very distorted. Some people thought that certain people groups, because they were behind in the evolutionary process, this is the lie that was going on, somehow because they were subhuman didn't qualify for the gospel. Man, that's getting really perverted, isn't it? That's really demonic, isn't it? That's basically some people with twisted ideas saying that this particular group of people somehow don't qualify for the gospel. I want to tell you, my friends, that's how far the enemy's tried to drive this thing. But he's not driving it here. He's not going to drive it in this house. And he's not going to drive it through the ministries that are part of this house. Because when we look at people, we see God value. We see the value of God in a person because they're precious. Jesus died for them. Jesus wept for them. And now if they receive the gospel, they're going to be part of Jesus' reward. And I celebrate when I hear the number of Chinese people coming to the Lord. I celebrate when I hear the number of Africans coming to the Lord. I celebrate when I hear God moving in Europe. I celebrate when I hear God moving in Russia, where I hear God moving wherever it is, because the family is getting bigger. My brothers and sisters are getting greater in number. And I'm going to get to meet Russians and Chinese and Japanese and all sorts of people with all sorts of different ethnic backgrounds. And we're going to be celebrating Jesus together. We're going to be celebrating the work of the cross and the resurrection together because we're one family. And we're created in the image of God. And we're going to bear the image of God on the earth. We're not going to be divided by hatred, by pettiness, by buying into the stuff that's promoted in the media, just trying to drive up this hatred and this rejection of each other. We're not going to buy into that spirit. We're in the Spirit of God. And you can't be in the Spirit of God and full of hatred at the same time. They're totally contradictory. Jesus gave this new commandment. When some people say the word commandment, they immediately write it off because they think that's related to Mosaic law. And they say, but the gospel was the end of the law. No, Jesus gave us some commandments. We cannot be followers of Jesus and ignore his commandments. Because if we're followers of Jesus and ignore his commandments, we can't say that he's Lord in our lives. That's logical, isn't it? So in John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Wow, that's an incredible standard. "That you also love one another. By this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." So, where on earth is the place of hatred and prejudice based on the idea of a race? Where does that fit that? Any idea? Which word could it hide behind? Which letter could it tuck in behind and be disguised in behind that thing? It doesn't fit. We cannot love one another and yet hate or have attitudes of hatred or belittling toward a particular group that are still in the that are in the family of God. It doesn't fit. So we want the signs, we want the wonders, we want the miracles, we want the presence of God, we want the power of God so manifest, and yet sometimes attitudes can harbor away in our hearts that destroy the very possibility of that happening. So we deal with stuff. And believe me, some people have had some very hard stuff to deal with. I remember one of the things that really impacted me in a video from the Toronto move when the Spirit of God was moving powerfully in Toronto in the 90s at Toronto Airport Church. And I saw this whole service where the Spirit of God was being poured out and touching people. There were people from so many nationalities and ethnic groups in those gatherings. And there was a German man present and a Jewish man present. And the Jewish man had something like 50 of his family friends killed in the Holocaust. He may have been the only survivor of his whole extended family. And here was this reconciliation going on between the Jewish man and the German man. And the tears and the weeping and I tell you, I was just so deeply moved because right in front of me, I was seeing a work of the Holy Spirit. I was seeing God release love in both of those men, that they could reconcile and apologize to each other. And that man that had lost all of his family members come into a place of freedom and healing as the Holy Spirit moved on him. I tell you, it was an absolutely beautiful thing to see. I can't imagine what it must have been like for that Jewish man who had come to Christ and received Jesus as Messiah to somehow be able to process. It takes the grace of God. It takes the love of God to release a man's heart, to be able to release forgiveness and be reconciled to a man who represents the murderer of your family. That's a work of God. That's a work of God. And I saw right in front of me, if God can do that in such a catastrophic situation in that man's generations, he can do anything when it comes to reconciling people that have hurt each other or represent groups that have hurt each other. When you start to surrender to the grace of God, when we start to surrender to the love of God works in us, the grace of God works in us and makes something that is humanly impossible, psychologically in terms of basically impossible, but it does a work in us to make that impossibility a possibility. And that's where we see the miracle of a new creation. We're now this beautiful German man, this beautiful Jewish believer in Christ, now reconciled and able to hug and weep together and be reconciled in Christ, because they recognize that in Christ they're one new creation and old things are passed away. That's a miracle, my friends, right there. And so I'm hungry to see the level of manifestation of the power and the presence in the kingdom of God in our nation, in our city, and through this church, through this ministry. But I also, know this, the more that we actually, genuinely, from a sincere heart, love one another, across whatever old barrier there may have been there, the more we're going to be recognizable as disciples of Jesus. The more there's division, petty squabbling, petty issues that get raised up amongst us, where there's the less we look like Jesus' disciples. John 14, finishing on this, John 14. No, I'm not going to finish on this. I've got one more after this. It was hiding down in my iPad. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Love that. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, he dwells in you and be with you. Wow, it all just flows together. So in amongst, right in the center of that statement I just read, where it talks about doing great and mighty things, more so than even Jesus did, if we believe, and then about asking the Father in Jesus' name and he will do it, and then flowing on through to the promise of the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of there is, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why? Because when we keep his commandment to love one another, most other things just come into line. And it's actually really easy to love the people that we identify with and are really easy to understand, culturally understand each other and are nice to each other. That's really easy. Even the world does that. So there's no reward for that at all. And Jesus points this out. It's loving the people that the natural mind, the old way of thinking, the old attitudes, the old hurts, whatever, find difficult to love. That's where the true demonstration of the kingdom and the glory of God is seen, when we receive the grace and the love of God to overcome that and come into a whole new place in love and unity. Amen? Every one of us here comes from a different culture. When Janet and I married, I came from a culture where I was the youngest of 10, and every Sunday was just about a party. The dining table had so many people around it. It was like a party gathering. Janet came from the youngest of two. Murray's her older brother by 10 years. By the time she was 5, Murray had gone out working somewhere and left home. So she was almost an only child in some respects, in terms of that part of her years. So when we got together, Janet, being fairly shy and at the time and likes her own personal space and more of an introvert, suddenly come into this gathering where there's 15 to 20 people plus children. It was like shock. And yet we were both, if you like, middle class, European background New Zealanders. But vastly different family cultures. There were some things we could understand each other on, but other things, Janet had a lot of trouble understanding me on certain things, and I just didn't get her on certain things. We worked it out, mostly. It's probably still the odd time I goof up. But there it was. And yet, we look the same to other cultures. You hear what I'm saying? So we bring cultural ideas into our settings, and we don't even realize we're different. It happens all over the place. I'm going to read one last passage. I'm finishing on that. I'm reading it over the Passion Translation out of Matthew chapter 24. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but that's for another day. Some are saying that this has all been fulfilled, Matthew chapter 4. Some are saying it's all yet to be fulfilled. Some are saying it's partially fulfilled and some yet. I'm probably about there. I believe some of these things have been fulfilled, but there's yet to be fulfilled promises and prophetic predictions and utterances in this chapter. I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. And this is what he's saying to the guys. This is the way Passion Translation translates it. And you'd have to read the background of this, but he says this. This is good news. You can expect to be persecuted, even killed. That just blows up the comfort gospel right there. That just blows up the idea that if anything bad happens to us, it's a lack of faith. It just blows that idea up right there. For you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. That's good news. Then many will stop following me and fall away. And they will betray one another and hate one another. And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. Passion for God and others. Go together. They will go cold. But keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed over all the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of this age will come. I've got news for you. There could be some rough days ahead of us. Some would like to think that's all behind us. I don't read scripture that way. I don't understand the scriptures and what Jesus said that way. I believe there's some rugged times ahead of us. I believe it's time for the family of God to pull close. I believe it's time for the family of God to deal with impediments that get in the way of our love for each other and our closeness to each other, be able to deal with issues honestly and be able to resolve issues honestly for the sake of the family of God, but to put that stuff away, because we are not of the company whose hearts are going to go cold. We are not of the company who are going to descend into hate and hurt with each other. We're going to be a company who rise above that sort of thing by the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to keep our eye focus, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not going to get our eyes fixed on hurts and disappointments and judgments and so on and so forth that drag us down and cause our love to go cold and our passion to go cold. We are a people who will push through that, rise above that, and we will be a people who will preach the good news in every nation of the world. We will preach the kingdom. We will not grow cold. We will not grow weary. We will not give up. We will not turn away from the gospel. We will press in because this gospel saved us. This gospel healed us. This gospel delivered us. This gospel delivered us out of drugs and hell. This gospel is what saved us. We're not going to get caught up in the offenses that are being promoted in the earth and descend into some hateful thing. We're going to rise in the love of God. We're going to stay true to the gospel. We're going to stay true to the one who saved us. We're going to move ahead in love. We're going to move ahead in grace because that's what we're called for. Amen. Hate does not have a place amongst us. Racial, so-called racial prejudice does not have a place amongst us. What has the place amongst us is the Word of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and love for each other like Jesus loved us. That's what has a place amongst us. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Father, I just thank you right now for your awesome, amazing grace being poured out on your people. Father, in a time where we are seeing some be filled with hate, or that hate manifesting, we are seeing some that are becoming so lawless. We are seeing some that are growing cold in their faith toward you and toward others, in their passion toward you and others. But Father, give us your grace that we would overcome, that we would not be seduced by the enemy, but Lord, we would stay focused on you, stay focused on your kingdom, stay focused on what you've taught us. Stay focused on how the disciples lived and how they manifested their understanding of your teaching and your ministry, your commandments. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for delivering us from hatred. Lord, if there's hatred resident in any one of our hearts right now, in Jesus' name, if there's hatred for a brother, hatred for a sister, hatred for a group, Lord, I pray by your grace you would just access the root of that for that person. Bring it to the surface so there can be renouncing and disagreement with it. In Jesus' name, repentance of it. And Father, I pray you'd lift off that spirit off them right now. You'd just release them. You'd release us from any spirit of hatred that could have taken root in our lives and in our hearts through our lives. In Jesus' name, any person who's a prisoner of trauma because of a ethnic issue, I'm speaking to anybody who's online who's joining me right now. If there's an issue in your heart of hatred toward another group of people because of their difference, in Jesus' name right now, Jesus sets you free. Jesus sets you free. Let the trauma that has locked you in for all of these years be broken off your life. I release you from that trauma. I release you from the power of it now. And I release you from the spirit of hatred. In Jesus' name, it has no place in your life. The only place in your life for any spirit now is the Spirit of God. So, Father, right now, just set them free in Jesus' name. Take your freedom now. Take your freedom. That applies for anybody in this house right now. Take your freedom now. You don't have to live with that trauma anymore. In Jesus' name. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to pray for you, welcome you to the family of God, welcome you into the kingdom of God. If you know that you want to give your life to Jesus today, you want to come back to the family of God, as it were, or you want to just open your life to Jesus, you've never been here before, you've never been in a church before, I want to give you that opportunity. Anybody online, I just want to say to you, open your heart to the Lord now. Just pray after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for me, took my place in judgment. And Lord, now I can receive forgiveness. I can receive you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of all my sin. as I forgive other people right now that have hurt me. Thank you, Lord, for making me your child. Thank you for rising from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here.